I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
My prediction is Josh McDaniels joins him, Tom Brady, to the Dallas Cowboys.
What? Heads would explode.
What do they say? The internet would explode.
It would break the internet, yes.
And all we eliminated was...
That's right, you can't wear 12.
Teams that have a franchise stud, bottom 10 O-lines... You got to have legit weapons. Coach has to have won a division or currently leading it. He's not going to a tiny market. You get four teams left. Steelers have Big Ben for three more years. Jimmy Garoppolo's going nowhere. It's Chicago or New York, and I believe...
Or Cowboys, yeah.
Yeah. Tom's not going there by himself. He's taking Josh McDaniels, and the Bears already have a great young coach.
Well, if you believe Colin Coward yesterday, Tom Brady's going to be headed to the Cowboys.
Unbelievable.
I could see it. Good running back in Ezekiel Elliott. Amari Cooper, good wide receiver. And we've already talked about Odell Beckham or even Antonio Brown. You got to have weapons around you. And if he goes there, don't the Dallas Cowboys now with Tom Brady as their quarterback instantly go to one of the Super Bowl favorites?
Could you imagine the ratings? Thursday Night Football opens the season. Tom Brady with the Cowboys takes on the New England Patriots.
Right. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
He and Jerry Jones together, the Crypt Keeper and Brady. That is just...
And you think that Kraft will be able to just walk around, you know, all, you know, happy-go-lucky in New England when Brady's out there just, you know, zipping the ball all over the field and the Cowboys now is 8-0.
Bob Kraft and the Boston Globe will... Men Fences and Bob Holler will do another deep dive into Tom Brady per the orders of Bob Kraft to sully his reputation.
He can dive all he wants. He's not finding nothing on Brady.
He left L.A. out of the mix. That's the other city that people are I mean, that's the Lock and Four report.
Yep.
Yeah, the Chargers.
Yeah.
Because they need to sell tickets.
This is the Greg Hill Show without Greg Hill. Actually, it's technically the Jerome Wiggins Show with Diane, Ken, and Curtis on WEEI on a Patriots Friday. Dane in Wilmington thinks Brady is going to go to the Raiders. Good morning, Dane.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
I'm all right. So I kind of have two crazy theories, and I kind of want to get your guys' opinion on it. One, I believe Brady is going to end up going to the Raiders for a couple of reasons. One, Derek Carr simply is not the answer there. And two, the Raiders are moving to Vegas in a brand-new stadium. They're going to need a big splash to get people to come in. And if they sign Brady, I think that would do it. And my second crazy theory, I want to hear you guys' opinion. I see Dak Prescott, if he doesn't go back to the Cowboys, I could see him going to New England.
See, the Raiders thing, I don't know, because wherever Brady goes, right, there has to be some type of familiarity there, right? Whether that's the coach, the quarterback, he has to have something that he's familiar with. The Raiders with Gruden as coach, and Gruden's not going anywhere?
Well, it's the Bay Area, though, until they go to Vegas, so that's familiar. Yeah, well, of course, Antonio Brown can't go there.
No, exactly. But if Josh McDaniels, at least in Miami, did you bring up Miami? Was that Ken you brought up Miami?
Well, that was Curran, right? Curran said.
Right, Curran brought it up, but at least there it's Brian Flores, it's Chad O'Shea. There's something he's familiar with. And when you're talking about it in Dallas, if he goes to Dallas and he can bring Josh McDaniels, I can't see the Raiders.
The issue with the TB12, I think wherever Brady's going is going to be with his business in mind. I don't see the TB12 brand being a huge hit in Sin City. I don't think that's going to be a huge spot for people to want to go to get TB12 treatment in Vegas, you know, after a bachelor party. I think that'll be more of a Miami, LA, Dallas, New York.
How do you think it survives here if he leaves?
I guarantee you the rent's going to go up for him in Foxborough. I think fans here will still be devout Patriots fans for life. I mean, he's the greatest athlete of any sports team in the history of Boston.
Right.
But I think that his next move is going to be with his business in mind.
And the only way fans maybe turn against Brady here is if Kraft offers him a deal, and then it comes out, hey, he offered him the 2 years, $50 million or whatever, and Brady turned that down. Then you go, wait a second, why would he want to leave? He got his money then. That's where I don't necessarily think people would turn on him 100%, but they would say, okay, well, Kraft tried, and Tom didn't want to come back here.
And as far as Josh McDaniels, he signed reportedly a five-year contract at pretty big money when he jilted the Colts. They have to let him out of that deal, right, for him to go?
Well, I think he has to, like, move upwards. Like, so he has to go from...
So he could, if he gets a head coaching job, he can get out of that contract?
I believe so. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, he would definitely be able to do that. And what's going to happen in the summer is that Bob Kraft, there's going to be false stories leaked everywhere. Whenever Brady leaves, the PR spin on both sides is going to be that Brady was not offered this in New England. That's why he signed with X team. And Kraft is going to leak to Field Yates and whoever else that Schefter, that they offered him 3 years, $70 million in part ownership of the team, and he still turned it down. There's going to be all those stories circulating.
And doesn't that make that just a poisonous relationship moving forward? Like, isn't that relationship now
toxic?
Sully? Right, you know, because there's reports out here about, you know, whether it's people leaking that Kraft did this or people leaking that Brady did that. Do you want to do that with the greatest quarterback of all time? In the future, 10 years from now, you want to bring him back, and he doesn't want to come back because – You sullied his name when he was leaving.
Right. Mike in Florida thinks that the writing is on the wall and Brady is out. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Fabulous. How you doing?
Great. Happy Friday. So I don't know what's going on with all the on-hold audio, but it's like it's all over the place. It sounds like it's possessed.
No, that's just the show.
Yeah, probably it, right? So anyway, somewhere in some dark room, sitting at a big black chair, Derek the Steelers fan is petting a cat saying, yes, good.
This is very but, true.
So anyways, you know, I heard you guys talking about the whole, you know, do you think Kraft is going to let that happen? At this point, the question is, has he already? You know what I mean? In some cases, the writing is on the wall where, you know, with all the little hints here and there with Brady and him slightly altering his general behavior that has been consistent for a very long time, you know, with the selling of the house and now the parting ways with best buddies. And, you know, with all this stuff that he has had to endure through the course of his career, coupled with the discounts that he's taken over the years and the fact that he has an opt out, you know, is it already too late at this point for him to stay a member of the New England Patriots? Has he already decided that? And is that because of Belichick? Is that because of Kraft? Is it because of Giselle? You know,
there's a lot of things, like I'm saying, the
writing's kind of on the wall already, and it's going to take a lot for that to be erased and rewritten.
Yeah, very, very true. There's been, you know, obviously a lot of contentious relationship issues, and we really don't know, you know, as much as we want to speculate what exactly is going on in Brady's mind as far as staying, going to another team, or just flat out retiring despite all of his preparation.
Danielle, we have a poll on this
yes.
at the Greg Hill Show. Will Patriots fans turn on Bob Kraft if he allows Tom Brady to end his career elsewhere? Already 400 votes in about 10 minutes here. 62% of the respondents say fans will turn on Bob Kraft.
And I think that's low. I think when you look at their relationship and you look at the relationship in between Brady and the organization and everything Brady's given this organization, he's taken pay cuts after pay cuts, you know, whether or not Bill's brought in the right guys to put around. We've never been in a situation where we've said, oh, Brady is not doing this. Even when he's not playing that well, we say, well, it's because of the pieces around him.
Right.
Get some pieces around him, and he's right back to the top of the quarterback statistics in all of the statistics out there for quarterbacks. So I don't see how people are ever going to turn against Brady unless Kraft offers him 3 years and $100 million guaranteed, and he turns it down.
Well, it's all going to be about how the Patriots play next year and how Brady plays. If Brady gets off to a rough start and the Patriots are 3-1, then Kraft is forgiven and everything's fine. But if
right.
Brady goes on to a Super Bowl with another team, then I don't know how he gets past.
Which one's more likely in everybody's mind?
What do you mean?
Like which
oh,
one?
Brady. Brady, who has success?
Yes. Which one's more likely?
Brady, because he will hand pick where he goes
and he will be possessed.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. So there's no way. That's my point. So if you're Kraft, there's no way you can sit there and look at this and say, this turns out good for me.
But they'll spin it. The smear campaign will start. They'll start you know, making you feel like he's the oldest. You know, he's 50 years old.
He
can't throw the football.
But then that goes back to my original point. Now you've basically fractured your relationship with Tom Brady. And when you want to have the 25th or 30th anniversary of whatever, you can't do it, or you could do it, but guess what? Tom Brady might not be showing up.
Joel in Andover has some theories about Brady going to the Cowboys and who might surround him. Morning, Joel.
Morning. So here's my doomsday scenario. Where I think it is possible if Brady winds up going to the Cowboys, you know Antonio Brown's going to follow him. Jerry Jones wants that championship ring. I think he'll wind up trading Gallup and Randall Cobb for Odell, which will then put Amari Cooper, Brown, and Zeke Elliott all on the same squad with, you know, Odell. I think that's just scary right there.
Yeah.
I think Jerry will do it just because he wants the championship, like, now. Mm. You know, I think he'll pull it together.
And Jerry,
and if that's the case, I'm sorry. I'm a Patriots fan for life. But I'm also talking, you know, with Team Tom Brady. I'll buy my Brady Cowboys jersey.
Right, you know? Because Jerry Jones is the type of owner where he'd be willing to open up his checkbook to do whatever it took to, in his mind, go, okay, if we can get Brady for 3 years and I could put some of these pieces around him, man, I could win 3 Super Bowls. Or I could win at least 2 Super Bowls with this guy, and he'd be willing to do that.
And Dallas is a convenient flight to Costa Rica.
It is
on the way.
It is.
Halfway there, yeah.
And close to Mexico, too. Cancun's a good place.
Just don't go off property.
Don't drink water.
And don't drink water. Don't lick a local. It is the Greg Hill Show on a Patriots Friday. Greg is not here with us this morning, unfortunately. He's a little sick, and I'm glad he decided to keep his germs at home instead of coughing them all over the microphone and the studio. If you'd like to call in and talk this morning, of course, the big topic so far the last hour or so has been whether or not Tom Brady is going to be departing the Patriots. You can do so at 617-779-7937 or text in at 37937. We'll take your calls. We'll continue to discuss things. I still want to get to my porn statistics story for 2019, because as you know, Wiggy and I love to discuss porn on the show.
Is it one statistic or multiple?
There are multiple statistics.
Wow. Oh, it's a whole
about
big study. Yeah.
What we're liking, what we're doing. Pornhub releases a list on this stuff.
I always
every
love
year
to know what people are watching and liking more than anything.
Exactly. Well, we will find out the top 5 categories that people are searching for. Also, since it is Patriots Friday, unfortunately, we don't have Julian Bubbs Edelman with us this week, but we will speak with Patriot Lawrence Guy at 7:20.
Listen to Tom Brady's interview anytime on the radio.com app. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Moxie Soda. Distinctively different. Dale and Keefe today will be Keefe with Mutt and Hart, although I believe Rich Keefe's going to join us at 9 o'clock for a
Excellent.
Little extra bonus hour.
Mm.
Bonus hour!
We'll have Jason McCourty and Michael Irvin 11:45. As you mentioned, Lawrence Guy joining us coming up. OMF has Michael Lombardi today. Patriots practice yesterday was curious. Isaiah Wynn missed and limited for Bubs Edelman. Maybe definitely why he's not on with us today. Mm-hmm. Several others as well. Brady was a clean bill of health. Told Scratchy he's fine. 1 o'clock kickoff Sunday at Paul Brown Stadium, and Wiggy is on 9 a.m. with the crew. Wiggy and the mofos there lead you in on NFL Sunday.
You know us mofos, we take care of you. And Scoops Foyer might be breaking some big news.
Ooh,
oh,
again.
Yeah. Is that he told you that, or you're just?
I'm just saying. You never know.
Yeah.
Always, you never know with Scoops.
He's got a Chara story.
Foyer.
Week 15 began in the NFL. Last night, Ravens beat the Jets 42-21, 10th straight win for Baltimore. Now, you were a skeptic of the Ravens and Lamar Jackson,
yes,
who had 5 passing touchdowns, 86 yards rushing. Unbelievable run he's on.
Yeah, they are on an amazing run, and I don't see them slowing down in the next couple of weeks. But I think ultimately what's happening, seeing that we might be going down the road of talking about what people are searching in the world of porn.
Yes.
I think that the Baltimore Ravens could be shit.
I dumped that, yeah.
Well,
they're peaking too early. Just leave it that way.
Guy's name.
Yeah.
Peaking too early.
Peaking. Yeah.
Back-to-back losses for the Bruins and the Celtics, both losing on Wednesday and then Thursday night. Seas loses to Philly at home. Hillman was there, and He stayed to the end of the game.
Has he deleted any of his social media posts yet?
I'm sure he knows how to do that.
He knows. He posted a couple stories because he's such a hardo. He wanted to prove that he was still at the Celtics game late, and then the donkey bangs in sick for work the next
day. Did he wear the Fourier 25 for 25 shirt again?
Yes, he did. Oh, my yeah. God.
Well, that's a concerning loss now, Wiggy, because, first of all, Al Horford missed the game.
Mm-hmm.
And your bigs played pretty well. Enes Kanter had 20 points, 9 boards. It's not like, you know, the big man didn't show up. I guess defensively, maybe.
Yeah.
But
what's that mean?
Embiid, big performance.
Here's what it means. You got a lot of pieces in place that are all playing well. Trade deadline.
For who?
I don't know. I haven't really gone through the names yet.
Do some work on that.
Yeah, I'm going to do some names as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline.
Bruins lost another one, 2-3-2 in Tampa. Had an early 1-0 lead. That got away to Steven Stamkos goals. That's their fifth straight loss.
Ooh, I got a guy for you.
Yeah.
Just came in my head. Kyle Anthony Towns.
Okay. Red Sox have made a signing. They have signed pitcher Martin Perez to a 1-year, $6 million agreement. That includes an option for 2021. For $6.25 million. He is a 28-year-old lefty. Most of his career with Texas. Last year with Minnesota. Could mean David Price precursored his exit. A lot of speculation they're going to trade him.
They're tearing this down, and it's going to be a rebuild for a few years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, where's he going to put that big truck of his?
Good point.
Enjoy the basement, Red Sox fans, because that's where they're going to be.
Poor Ken.
Dump that.
just did dump that. And back to the Brewers real quick. Did you see Tim Thomas meet the media yesterday for the first time in forever? He'd been in hiding in Colorado, the former Bruins goalie.
That was interesting.
Admitted he had all kind of concussion issues and didn't speak to anybody, like including family, for multiple years. Very odd.
Wow. Can you imagine? This is just the latest and greatest example of media bias. A politically active athlete suffers from mental health issues after speaking his mind about the president at the time.
Yes.
If this were a liberal, he'd be on the cover of the Globe as a champion.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's incredible people hate him because he had the audacity to criticize Obama.
Oh yeah.
Exigent weather report, high of 44 today, but showers are coming and then heavier rain overnight. 30 million people come down with the flu every year. Could be you or your family. The best way to tell if it's cold or the flu is by taking your temperature. Nothing does that better than the Exergen temporal scanner. You can learn more at Exergen.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
It is the Jerome Wiggins Show with Diane, Ken, and Curtis on a Patriots Friday here on WEEI. Good morning. Greg not with us. He was, he's been sick for a few weeks and didn't sound great when he spoke with Curtis this morning, despite, you know, not having a super late game at the Celtics last night. But we hope that Greg feels better over the weekend. Thoughts and prayers to him.
Yes. Make sure he changes diaper.
That's a visual I didn't need. Thank you. Going to try to get rid of that. Wiggy, thank you. This is what happens when you and I get together. It's a huge problem. If you want to check in on the show this morning, 617-779-7937. We've been talking about the possibility of Tom Brady going to another team. I know there are other things to discuss this morning, but that seems to be what is at the top of everyone's mind. We will speak with New England Patriot Lawrence Guy in just a few minutes here. Of course, Julian Edelman usually joins us on Fridays on the Greg Hill Show on WEI, but he's not able to today. So we'll speak with Lawrence, see what they're doing to prep for Sunday's game. Let's see here. While we wait for Lawrence, let's get to Richard, who's calling us from Central Mass, on who might swap out with Brady. What's going on, Richard? Good morning.
Hey, guys. Great show. Hey, before I ask my question about Brady, I want to tip for Greg about getting well. A little bit of whiskey, a little bit of honey and lemon, and a couple ounces of hot water.
A little hot toddy action. I'm sure he'd enjoy that.
Yeah. Hey, given the fact that the Pats and Dallas will probably make an early exit from the playoffs, I want to ask, do you think that the Patriots might actually trade Brady to Dallas for Zach Prescott?
He'll be a free agent, they don't have to trade him anyway. He can go on his own. And if he goes to Dallas and you then get Dak Prescott, that's the question that everybody asked, right? Everybody asked this question before, Ken. Oh, well, if he goes to Dallas, then they'll get Prescott. But weren't a lot of people saying that if Brady was on Dallas when they played against the Cowboys a couple weeks ago, that the Cowboys would have beat the Patriots?
Right.
So if you flipped the quarterbacks, guess what? You're still losing.
And one of the callers brought up Amari Cooper. Did he look very good to you in that game? If I'm Brady, I'm a little nervous about him being the weapons that I need to succeed down
right.
there.
Right. Brady's only going somewhere where he knows that there are going to be plenty of guys around him that can be where they need to be when he throws the football and get open against man coverage. And those guys are guys like OBJ and AB.
Cowherd is on to something, though. The Cowboys make too much sense. You have an owner in Jerry Jones who just loves the spotlight, just wants to make news, winning is secondary. To bring in Brady into that franchise with, you know, all of the attention he would get and give Josh McDaniels the job, that would be, and Fox would be so excited to have Brady on their network every Sunday with the most popular team in the NFL. That would be unbelievable.
Although Brady's always talked about how he hates the Cowboys, hated them coming out of the womb, being a Niners fan. I don't know if that matters to him. Maybe not when they offer him $35 million a year or whatever. That goes away quick.
He can prevent Jimmy G from getting to a Super Bowl.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yep, very true. Marie in Woburn has some ideas about what Brady might do if he decides to retire. Morning, Marie.
Good morning. What I thought was, I think he's going to be a motivational speaker. I think health, fitness, I just feel that that would be something that he would probably do before, you know, if he retired.
Well, I mean, it makes sense because of the TB12 brand, I guess you would say. If he winds up retiring, which I still feel that, you know, that's the road he's going to go down, but that's just me personally. You know, I think that it makes sense for him to line himself up with the next chapter of how he's going to expand the TB12 brand in that business, and that certainly goes along with it, Marie. I agree with you.
I don't think he's going to be Tony Robbins or you know, Chris Farley on Saturday Night Live living in a van down by the river. I mean, I think he is going to be a owner. He wants to be an owner in the NFL, which is why the one team that is somewhat interesting is the Chargers, because they have Dean Spanos, who's another guy that is really struggling to sell tickets in L.A. If he does a solid for the league, goes and takes over the quarterback position for Phillip Rivers in L.A. for the Chargers, then I think that's a possibility.
He don't have enough money for that. He even said it. I think what you'll ultimately see him doing is the TB12, and he'll do a lot of those like documentaries of Tom versus Time. And I know he does a lot of stuff with the Michael Strahan, where they have this company where they show you different documentaries of people that have been able to overcome certain situations, athletes and non-athletes. So I think he could get into that side of the movie, not movie world, but documentary world.
All right, we are about to be joined by Lawrence Guy of the Patriots, filling in for us for Julian Edelman this morning. Lawrence, of course, joins us on the Harbor One Bank Hotline. Good morning, Lawrence. How are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Doing fantastic. Now, we got to ask you, of course, right off the bat, we're talking to Danielle and Wiggy and Ken and Curtis here. Is Julian Edelman the toughest player on the Patriots right now?
I think we all got pretty tough guys, but you know, he's up there with one of them, one at the top, because I've seen this man do some incredible stuff through everything he's been through, especially the last year before, especially come off of a surgery. So he's one of those people that, you know, you don't get all that he got, and he's going to try to go out there and compete every single time.
Mm-hmm. Now, Lawrence Guy, brought to you by East Coast Metal Roofing, Manchester, Boston Regional Airport, and Needham Bank. Can we be your bank? Did you see the Ravens-Jets game last night, Lawrence? Is Lamar Jackson unstoppable?
You know, he's a good quarterback. He could throw the ball. He could surely run it. So he's one of those players that, you know, he's a unique player, and he's showing it, and they're letting him play the way he wants to play, and they're going with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those teams that we can't ignore the team itself also. Like, the team is doing good as his individual success. So it's like it was impressive. But I thought they just had it a little bit getting into the game. I was like, okay, they're keeping up a little bit. You know, there's a score behind, but
now
he didn't come that way.
Now, Lawrence, you guys, tough loss against the Kansas City Chiefs, but I think defensively from watching that game, I think you did a lot of things well. You were able to slow them down in the running game and maybe slow down Patrick Mahomes a little bit in that explosive offense. What are some of the things that maybe you can take away from a loss like this against a very, very talented team, preparing you getting ready for Cincinnati?
Just playing better football. Overall, I felt like both sides of the balls, we needed to play a little bit better football. We let some big plays get hit on us, and we just let everything overwhelm us that they shouldn't have done it. We only could control what we could control, and that's what we needed to take from that. Control what you could control, and continue to play football. And that's what we're going to bring to the Cincinnati game, is control what we could control and play every single down to the best ability. And don't let anything overtake your emotions or anger. Just play the game. Because that's the only thing we can truly do, is play this game.
Lawrence Guy joins us on a Patriots Friday here on WEEI in place of Julian Edelman. Lawrence, how has the team reacted to the videotaping scandal this week? Because I know we've spent a lot of time talking about it. It's been in the news a lot. Has that been a distraction for you guys, or have you been able to kind of look past that?
That's what the football side of it. So we're just past that. We don't talk about it because it doesn't concern us at all.
And one of the other big debates we've had, of course, is whether or not Tom comes back as QB next season. How would the locker room react down there if that happened, if Tom left the organization?
You know, what do we got? One, two, three, including this game, three more games left in the regular season. So right now, all we're focused on is Cincy this week. You know, we got another team coming up next week. We got another team coming up the week after that. So those are pretty much our focus. We can't tell how the season's going to end or what's going to happen next year. All we can tell what we could control this week and the following week.
Mm-hmm. And how frustrating was it to deal with the blown calls last weekend? Did you guys expect any kind of apology from the NFL?
Like I said, we only could control what we could control. We can't control anything that was called out there or anything that wasn't called out there, because they get paid to do something, we get paid to do something. Once their call is made, it's made, and can't argue with that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You wish you could. If we could, the whole fiasco last year would never happen, but it happens. So we just got to just take it how it is and go play this week the best that we can and control what we control, because if we don't, it's just going to go all down here and we're just going to play the blame game. And with this organization, you don't see nobody pointing fingers or saying it was that person's fault or this person's fault. We take full responsibility for what we could do, and then we just continue to push on.
Lawrence Guy, I have to tell you, you are absolutely level expert when it comes to the answering protocols
Patriot
for
way.
The Patriots organization. It's all about control. It's about control.
And then, now, Lawrence, okay, I know you, when you talk about a game like that where, you know, there are officials that are making maybe calls that, you know, you might not agree with, and it is something that frustrates all players. How do you try to not allow that frustration to seep in and affect the team's performance and say, okay, you know, it's we can't concern ourselves with the referees, even though some of the calls we might not agree with, but we got to still be able to go out there and continue to play football and play good football.
Well, as you saw during that game, that was the biggest thing about it. And like I said, you saw a lot of people's frustration come out. But as that was being done, once that game is over, you can't take that game back. You can't go back and like, oh, I'm going to take this game back. I'm going to take this play back. It's over. You can't live in the past. So that's what I'm saying. This week, we ain't going to have the same ref. We ain't going to have the same game coming up. We ain't playing the same players. We're playing a whole different set of people. We're playing with a whole different set of refs. So we can't go into the game like, hey, did you see what that person did last week? We just can't do that. It's impossible to play in the past. So, you know, all you can do is play in the present. And in this present game, it's history. So we're going to have to go over there and play our best that game. And if we don't play our best that game and keep living we got messed over this call. They should have done this. That's not how you win games. That's how you lose games. And, you know, we do everything we can to compete to win a game. And we keep thinking about how we're getting jacked over or somebody is trying to out to get us. That's how you just lose games because you're trying to blame somebody. So it's not about blaming people. It's about accepting responsibility.
We have to get to the Twisted Question of the Week brought to you by Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. What do you guys need to do, Lawrence Guy, to improve on the D-line during the final three games to get you ready for the playoffs?
For the final what?
What do you need to improve on the D-line during the last three games of the season now to get ready for the playoffs?
You know, to be honest with you, is
control.
Take this game as it is and control the line. That's the job for everybody that plays in those trenches is whoever controls the line wins the game. And that's the goal every single week is controlling the line and playing great football together. Offense is a unit defense. We play with brotherhood, having trust that you know what the person next to you is going to do and what they are thinking. And as we compete every single week and we get into this end of the season, this is where the true bond really shows up because you actually see teams play together and you see teams understand, I've been here since training camp, OTAs in this whole long season. Now I know what I'm expecting out of my teammate. I know what he's thinking. And when I go to the sideline, we understand we're going to take full comments or remarks about what everybody thought about how your play was where you could improve it the next series coming out.
That's the Twisted Question of the Week brought to you by Twisted Tea, tailgate New England style with Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Lawrence Guy, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We had a great time talking to you, and good luck this weekend against Cincinnati.
Thank you for having me. You have a good time, Tiff.
You as well. Thank you.
All right.
All about control, right?
That's it.
All about the textbook control. If you're playing,
you grilled him there. Nice job. All the tough questions in a row.
All the tough questions. Bam, bam, bam.
Except for who
bam.
Was calling signals on defense. That was the next one.
Yeah, well,
is
you
it
know.
Steve or?
Bill sits him down. It's like Bill sits him in the team meeting room, mm-hmm. and then the lights just stop blinking really fast, and it's going in and out, and then all you hear is a voice is, here's what you will say as a Patriots player. Oh. In any interview you do, when you hear the words, what went wrong, you say control.
So it's hypnosis. You're pulling back the curtain.
That's what
Can
it is.
Can you go back and get a sort of updated lesson on that, Wiggy, so you're a little more concise?
Yeah, I just gave
you. Yeah, but we're on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, there it is. Listen. You see what he does with these guys. He puts them in line, and ain't nobody stepping over that line.
Ain't nobody stepping over that
ain't
line.
Ain't nobody stepping. Ain't nobody got time for that one right there.
Ain't nobody got time for that? All right, 7:36 here on the Greg Hill Show on WEEI. We have your news coming up next, and if you'd like to check in with us at any point, you can certainly do so via phone or via the text line, 617-779-7937 or 37937 on the text line.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Greg Hill Show on WEEI. For
good morning.
The news.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
With your host.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Because I am good at three things: fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic.
There's more good news today.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Headlines this morning sponsored by Northeast Men's Clinic, specializing in men's sexual health. Learn more at northeastmensclinic.com or call 617-793-5000. Greg is out sick this morning, so you get Danielle, Wiggy, Ken, and Curtis. Now, yesterday, lawyers for the Boston Marathon bomber were in court appealing his conviction while he sits on death row in Supermax in Colorado. They're basically arguing that Jahar Tsarnaev did not get a chance at a fair trial here in Boston because everybody was essentially biased and had feelings about what happened at the marathon bombings. He was convicted of all 30 charges against him, including conspiracy and use of a weapon of mass destruction. He did not attend the hearing, but did have his team of attorneys there trying to appeal this sentence. This is one of the appeals attorneys, Daniel Habib.
Each of these errors undermines confidence in the verdict imposing a death sentence on a 19-year-old college sophomore with no prior history of violence.
Oh, yeah, okay. That sounds reasonable. Hmm. Yeah, no prior history, so let's just, whatever.
What are we doing here?
I don't know. This is the problem with the death penalty convictions, is that the series of appeals just goes on forever.
No prior history of violence. In what way, shape, or form does that play a role in you putting ball bearings and nails into a pressure cooker before setting it off in front of children,
right,
and murdering people?
I don't know.
What are we talking about? And then you have these idiots, these total brain dead morons that are outside the courthouse heckling Andrian Haslett Davis, who lost a leg in the marathon bombings.
Yep.
A beautiful dancer who is incredibly strong and gotten through this amazingly.
And an amazing person also.
Right. And you have this guy that was out there that she talked to, or that there
the
was
beard
a,
guy?
Yeah, there was a Fox 25 reporter who captured this.
Yep.
He was out there. I went out with the old Dennis and Callahan show when these protesters were outside of the courthouse in like 2014 or so. And it's the same guy. This guy, I don't know what his job is. I mean, but that guy belongs in jail. If you're heckling Adrian Haslett Davis for whatever reason, you're protecting Tsarnaev.
In court yesterday also was Melita Arredondo, of course, wife of Carlos Arredondo, which everyone knows, the man in the cowboy hat, very familiar sight to people here in Boston.
I wish it had gone to life sentence and never to a death sentence. That's my own values, my own point of view. And it would have avoided this costly procedures that we're going through right now.
Well, the appeals process, she makes a very good point, just because of the fact that, A, it's extremely expensive to have to keep going back and doing this, but B, every time they drag him back into court or everybody else back into court, everyone has to relive it.
And the problem is, most of the time with the death penalty, most of the people ultimately get it overturned, and then they ultimately turns into a life sentence, because there's always going to be that, there's always going to be that side that argues that the death penalty is cruel and you shouldn't do that. But when you have, there is just certain cases where you're like, it's just this, just wipe this dude off the earth. That person does not need to be here. We should not be paying taxes so he can have a life sentence in prison, waking up every day, you know, having a meal, whatever it is. People like that need to just be completely taken off this earth.
I agree. Boston has released its nightclub safety report. This is pretty interesting. They came up with a plan to improve nightclub safety. Remember, we had a couple of incidents this past year with women being kidnapped after leaving clubs. There was a 30-page report released. They're requiring now a minimum of one security guard at any site with 50 or more people present. They're also proposing having surveillance cameras trained on entrances and exits, as well as providing specific guidelines for addressing sexual assault cases. And city leaders just want to make everybody more safe when they go out in Boston. And, of course, among them, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh.
No one should feel unsafe in our city. So we're making sure that our bars, our nightclubs, and other establishments know how to improve safety and measure their patrons and their staff.
Yeah, you know, the thing about it is, You have to, you know, I have a daughter who's 22 years old, so she goes out to nightclubs and everything, and you want to try to make, you want to try to make the city as safe as possible, but you still have to be aware that no matter how safe a place you might feel it to be, there's still these whack jobs and nut jobs and sickles out there, so you got to try to do your best to kind of, you know, learn, and you know, don't get caught, you know, walking by yourself and that kind of thing, because there's still these wackos out there that are just plotting and waiting and scheming to take advantage of people.
You have to be very aware, and I think people, you know, I think people get lazy sometimes too. It's
well,
like
after
it's like,
a couple drinks, you know how it is.
Of course, after a couple drinks, but even after, you know, like you look at like national tragedies like 9/11, you know, airport security, aircraft security, everything was so tight in the wake of that, and then as years go on, people start to get in, they feel inconvenienced, right? So now they're like, oh, I don't want to deal with this, so they start to relax the regulations, and that's when the criminals start to step up. And I think it's the same thing with stuff like nightclub safety. Like, you go out, haven't really had any issues with anything, you know, okay, let your guard down a little bit. Oh, you know, we're not going to have this here or metal detector or whatever. You know, and then like you said, there's always someone laying in wait.
There's somebody plotting and scheming, and you get relaxed, and, you know, whether it's the security gets relaxed. I always try to teach my kids, listen, I always say, listen, stay ready so you don't have to get ready. You know, always think of that mindset of somebody's out to get you. You know, even if you're not, but if you have that mindset, it you know, maybe it helps a little bit. You know, that's the way I was brought up. Somebody's always out to get you. Even if it's a, you know, somebody saying, hey, I want you to do something for me. Always think, okay, what's the motive here?
Right.
Quick note on the mayor. He'll be in studio Wednesday, 8:15 to 9:15 next week.
So excellent.
All right. Trying to avoid Wiggy.
Yes, that's what it is, because of these stupid bike lanes that are killing traffic, and everywhere I go, there's a bike lane with no bikes in them.
Do they have space savers in Copenhagen? I wonder.
Ooh. See, these are the questions Wiggy needs to ask. You got to be in Wednesday, special appearance, 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Let's do it.
It'll be like how we had you and Nick in for like a partial period of time on
Monday. That's when you have the two comedians in the building. Oof. I don't know. There's a lot of funny going on at that time.
There's a lot of something going on. Mike in Peabody has a comment regarding the Boston bomber case. Mike, what's going on?
Hey, Danielle. You're doing a great job today.
Thanks, buddy. Happy Friday.
Hey, Hey, you know what's funny is Marty Walsh is up there talking about wanting people to feel safe, but yet they're trying to get this almost dead terrorist number two out of the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to get this guy sentenced, commuted to a life in sentence, what are you sending mixed messages as leaders in our community? If you want everybody to feel safe, unless you're a guy who lights off a bomb in the middle of a marathon, and then we want you to feel safe. We don't want you to have the death penalty. We want you to have life in prison.
Mm-hmm.
If you put the guy to death and people knew that the government was serious about keeping people safe, people might think twice about acting out because they know that they're going to get themselves capped.
Right. But the state of it, the way it is now, it just goes on forever.
Hypocrisy.
Right.
They state the same people who are out there defending this almost dead terrorist to right to get his sentence commuted are the same people who want our doctors asking us if we own guns.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, these people are so full of it. It's so transparent that I don't know, you know, what's your take on that?
You know, I'm conflicted about it. I have mixed emotions about the whole scenario. But I think that, you know, again, like I just said before, having to go through this entire process over and over again, you know, and this argument comes up whenever somebody in a case like this is sentenced. People say, you know, we want the death penalty. Mm-hmm. And then you have the other crew that argues and says, well, that's actually going to be more expensive because you got to keep going through the appeals process. But I just, you know,
Well, the biggest thing with this, though, Danielle, is that everybody says that it's this hell that he's living in Colorado, that it's worse than living. The fact is that it's not hell because he's appealing being put to death so he can live there the rest of his life.
Exactly.
So it's not that bad because he'd prefer to live there than be put to death.
Well, it's very simple when you say it's not that. But the fact of the matter, the guy gets to wake up and go to sleep every day. And there are people that, you know, loved ones that are out there that have lost, you know, family members that will never come back. That's always what it comes down to. So when you say, well, sometimes, you know, let them think. No, at the end of the day, when you do something as horrific as that and you go through the case and you're found guilty, mm-hmm. I mean, death penalty is the way to go. But it's because there are people out there who go, oh, you can't do that. That's cruel. You can't do that. Let this person just live in jail for the rest of his life. No. You don't let him live in jail for the rest of his life. You take a life and you've did it in such a horrific way. That's your life.
And mm-hmm. if not for the heroism at the finish line, this asshat would have killed dozens of people. So the fact that he killed three and wounded hundreds, I mean, this could have been, you know, he wanted to be an even bigger mass murderer than he was. Like, mm-hmm. the notion that he deserves to breathe the air that we do is absurd.
I'm looking back on some old articles from around the time when he was sentenced, and it talks about what the cost is mm-hmm. of something like a life sentence. And if he were to live in prison until at age 77, as according to an article on WCVB.com from 2015, the average age of death of a man in the U.S., the government would spend at least $1.5 million on him, housing him at Supermax. And then the article also breaks down how Timothy McVeigh's defense cost taxpayers $14 million with all of his appeals. And the federal government also spent $82.5 million investigating and prosecuting Timothy McVeigh. So God only knows how much this is costing us.
And McVeigh got his successfully moved, to Denver or somewhere at the time. So that might happen in this case.
It could. It's absolutely possible. Well, we'll see what happens with the Boston Marathon bomber. Will they commute the sentence over to life? We don't know. In the meantime, let's head south.
And now,
it's one of those only in Florida type of stories.
Another edition of Florida.
Florida? But that's America's way.
Not like the rest of us.
Another day in Florida.
Cocaine, right? I thought that was just for people in Florida.
This is a very Florida way to die. Back in June, a mining company in Fort Meade, Florida, spotted a 449-pound alligator in the water on its property, and they saw a man inside the gator's mouth. Now, the guy was already dead, and when Fish and Wildlife agents caught the gator and examined it, they found some of the man's body parts in the gator's stomach. Now, turns out that this individual was identified as Michael Ford, who's a 45-year-old repeat criminal, and the autopsy results were just released this week. Turns out the alligator didn't kill him. He died of a meth overdose, and then the gator found him and ate his left hand and right foot. He was arrested 10 days before he died for burglary and grand theft auto, also convicted of felony meth possession last year. Here's my question. Does the alligator get high off the meth?
Ooh.
In the guy's system.
It's probably a contact high.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're ingesting body parts of somebody that was on the meth.
Yeah, plus you don't want a gator out there that's, you know,
on
high on meth. That gator
bit my hand.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That gator's going to be unstoppable.
Any news on alligator safe injection sites?
No, not yet. Not at the moment. We're working on those. Speaking of Florida and going back to something, Greg, who, by the way, is not here if you're just tuning in this morning at 7:55 on the Greg Hill Show on WEI. I had mentioned either yesterday or the day before gift thefts. It's a big, you know, holiday season. More people than ever are shopping on Amazon.
Oh, when you leave them outside your door?
Yeah, when they mm-hmm. get delivered. So we talked about how people are catching gift or package thieves on their Ring doorbells and their Nest video cameras. There's an Amazon driver in Tampa, that's for you, Wiggy, accused of stealing about $900 in merchandise and gift cards from packages that he was supposed to deliver. Oscan O'Cor Jr., 22 years old, was arrested yesterday and charged with grand theft. Evidently, he loaded $250 in gift cards onto his personal Amazon account and also stole a Ring camera, which is a little ironic to me, Apple AirPods, and a PlayStation game. And according to the Tampa Bay Times, he reported those items marked as missing during his delivery route. Investigators were able to trace the thefts to him. They canceled the gift cards before he could use them. Rookie mistake. You got to use them right away if you're going to steal them. He did admit to the thefts. He has helped recover the other stolen items, and we're not sure when his next court date is, but he's been released.
I hate these. That's like more than anything. You know, I remember I had my truck broken into, and I wanted to catch the people that did it. So I hate thieves, especially when they're going out their way to come to your house and, mm-hmm. you know, steal stuff that, you know, maybe UPS puts on your thing. Oh, God.
What'd they take from your truck?
They stole the radio, the speakers.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, they stole all that good stuff. They did leave me behind a nice flashlight, though, that I ended up using.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like a police.
It was like a bag light?
Nice no, one. It was a police flashlight.
Yeah, like one of the big heavy ones?
Yeah, so I had it for a while, so...
Did you beat anybody with it?
No.
Jeez.
A lot of stuff happening in the news this morning, but there, a lot of people still do want to talk about the death sentence appeal of the Boston Marathon bomber. Will in Springfield does not believe in the death penalty. Will, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Great. How are you? Happy Friday.
Hey, happy Friday. Happy weekend. And go Pats. Hope we get to win this week.
Yes,
nonetheless, me, just personally, and a lot of people will disagree with it, I just don't feel like, you know, anyone has the right to put someone to death, regardless of the crime, you know, and that's just based off my religious beliefs. Being a Christian, I don't feel like, you know, we have the right to judge one another and hold the right to actually, you know, put someone to death, because I feel like we're just as guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you would ask me, well, if my mother or my kids were in that incident and that happened, I'd say the same thing. You know, I feel like at the end of the day, when his time comes, you know, he'll face his maker, and he'll have to explain for everything that he did. And, you know, and I like I said, I'm a Christian. A lot of people, you know, you believe what you want, but I believe in heaven and hell, and I believe that, you know, there's a place for people like that, and you will spend eternity. You guys have a good weekend.
You too. Thank
See, that
you very
becomes
much.
The problem, right? And that's what's difficult when you're talking about death penalty cases and situations like this, is because there are a group of people that believe, like our caller, right, that
mm-hmm.
just don't believe in it. So it's...
Well, doesn't the Bible say an eye for an eye? Am I wrong there?
It does.
Yeah, you know, I don't get too... There's two things you try not to jump in. That's politics and religion. But that's what ends up happening, right? So... Now, and then there are some people that maybe are on death row, and there'll always be those, well, he was innocent.
Right.
And that's why I think you have so many of these cases that do get ultimately overturned,
mm-hmm.
because people just can't, they can never see eye to eye on this one.
Right.
I just don't, I mean, I get people's perspective on the death penalty. I totally understand if it's your religious feelings or whatever, but the fact is that there are certain actions that require a certain penalty. If you place pressure cooker bombs in mm-hmm. front of children
mm-hmm.
at a mass sporting event with the sole intention of maiming and murdering as many people as possible, show no remorse, flick off the camera
in
his
cell.
I mean, this guy belongs in, he does not belong
he deserves
on the earth.
He deserves that. Guy who shot up that country concert and I believe it was Las Vegas.
In Vegas, yeah.
But I don't know if they ended up killing him or when. But people like...
He killed himself.
Like Curtis said, there are certain things that you do that you know, clear-cut proof evidence, we got you, we don't need nothing else, that you know this person does not deserve to live. And he falls into that category.
JJ in Rhode Island has a comment on the death penalty. Good morning, JJ.
Hey, good morning. How are you? Yeah, I wanted to weigh in on that. It seems like public perception prevails because we went overseas at whatever cost, took out bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went and took out Saddam Hussein. And it was to send a message to the international community. I think if you're a terrorist, death is imminent. There's no way that they should be letting any of these people, any of them, domestic or international, mm-hmm. live. They should not. You want to send a message globally, and the cost to send the SEALs over there was probably in the multi-millions of dollars. So I know you have the comparisons of what's going to cost to keep someone alive, but
mm-hmm.
It's time. It's not about cost anymore. It's what has it already costed us,
right,
as a society, and death should be imminent. If you're coined that terrorist label, and it's proven, absolutely proven, death penalty ensues. Die.
Well, there you go. Thanks. Thank you, JJ. Peter and Matt.
That's a good point right there. Yeah, that's a pretty good point that you go overseas and you want to take out terroristic leaders, and then you got somebody here and that is doing a terroristic act. What's the difference, right?
Yeah. Well, plus it originated in Massachusetts, and we know the criminal is always the victim in Massachusetts. Peter in Mattapan, a Christian for the death penalty, a little different than our previous caller. Good morning, Peter.
Yes, I have a two-part statement. The first part is that people say we don't have a right to judge, but the Lord said, by what measure you judge shall be judged unto you. So if the word of God is judging the person, then it is correct. If it's you that's judging, it's incorrect. And before Christ, God had people killed for doing certain things. And I'd like to ask the question, if their mother and their little baby sister was standing there and somebody had a gun to them and said, if you don't shoot me, I'm going to kill them. Would they pull that trigger? And I guarantee you their answer would be yes. So in turn, to save a life, they would take a life. And this man would do nothing but kill again, given the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing about God in him.
Yeah, you make a very good point, Peter. We're talking about the appeal. Lawyers for Jahar Tsarnaev, one of the Boston Marathon bombers, were in court yesterday in Boston appealing his death penalty conviction. People have had a lot of strong opinions one way or another, either about the death penalty or whether he should be allowed, you know, the appeals process, why it's costing us money, what else is going on. Let's see here. Bruce from Connecticut agrees with Wiggy on this. Morning, Bruce.
Hey, Wiggy. I got to agree with you 100%, brother. This guy does not deserve to live. However, I'm going to say, versus doing this whole trial, life sentence, death penalty, listen, let's let the city of Boston handle this problem. Tell everybody that we're going to make this guy walk the 26.2 miles for the Boston Marathon. Tell everybody when we're letting him out and where we're letting him out, and let the city do its own thing.
We basically have to enact like purge style exemptions.
Listen, I think like Bruce. So you don't want me running for office because we're torturing people and all types of crazy stuff. So I completely agree with Bruce on that part.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
Jack in Waltham has a comment on Christianity and all the people it has killed over the years. Good morning, Jack.
Yeah, morning, guys. I think that kind of loony guy that called in talking about religion just kind of has it backwards. I mean, it's a silly point just because when you think about it, I mean, pretty much every war ever has been fought over religion, and, Christianity's probably killed millions of people over time. So, we should probably kill this dude. He's worthless. He's garbage. And I think that guy, there's a lot of religious loonies out there that have those opinions, and I think it's kind of silly. So interested to hear what you guys think.
Yeah, you'll never. It's something that you'll never be able to. People will always be on one. There'll be the extreme.
Right.
You know, death penalty. I'm for it or I'm against it. And I don't think there's no middle ground. You know what I mean? Like Curtis said, I think there are just certain situations when you look at and you go, there are certain people who don't deserve to be on the. They don't deserve to be in this world.
No, they don't.
They don't deserve to breathe.
No, they don't.
Especially when you're seeing like. You know, innocent people, whether they're dying in car accidents or they're dying because of cancer or things of that nature. And then you got people who are walking around here and trying to do harm on other people, and they don't. There are a bunch of people who don't deserve to live. And the government should be able to step in and say, OK, we figure this out. All the evidence is pointed against them. This person does not deserve to live another day.
It's Patriots Friday here on WEI. Greg not in, feeling a little sick this morning, so we're doing some news talking about the Boston Marathon bomber and his appeal, or I should say his lawyers appearing in court yesterday for his death penalty appeal. And Bish has an opinion on what is going on in prison with Jahar. Good morning, Bish.
It's finally nice to know that Lisa Jackson finally has her own show now.
I'm Lisa Jackson on WEEI. Yes, if you're unfamiliar, back in the day when Greg and I were on the old show in the very early years, I did some fill-in sports flashes here on EEI for on the Middays in the Morning show. And our boss at the time, Ron Valeri, had told me I needed a different name. So I went by Lisa Jackson for sports. And when I was on our sister news station at the time, I would be Caroline Keene. But anyway, Bish, your thoughts on the bomber?
Now, I have some very personal ties, as you noted on the other show, where this really kind of fires me up and gets me going. The thing that pisses me off is this son of a, you know what, is getting three hots in a cot. Mm-hmm. And I bet the family of Martin Richard and Sean Collier would love to have their families give him a nice warm meal around the holidays and, you know, celebrate Christmas. Yet this son of a, you know what, is getting, you know, to live every single day on my hard-earned dime in a jail cell, okay, getting to appeal every single day for the next 10, 15 years or however long they want to drag this out, okay? I'm a Christian just like anybody else that called in before me. I can quote scripture. I'll save that for my Sunday service. You know, an eye for an eye. Take this guy out. Let him rot in hell, and I'll add the gasoline.
All right.
And we can't forget that this terrorist has 50 DirecTV channels in his cell.
Not
as
bad.
As was reported by the Herald a couple years ago.
Not bad. So, Wiggy's still working on a deal.
I mean, honestly, God, we have like 13 DirecTV channels here. He has 50.
Yeah.
What I don't understand is they're arguing that the jurors were biased. But, like, what does that matter? Like, the merits of the case, the facts of the case are evident to everybody. So, of course, you're going to have, like, seen the news coverage.
Right.
But you're not slanted. It's just an obvious. There's no debate here as to what happened. It happened. I think the Tsarnaev camp even admitted to it. So, what? Who cares if the jurors are biased?
The issue there is going to be, and this just goes back to any legal precedent, is going to be burden of proof. And if you have to prove beyond a shadow of a reasonable doubt that somebody did something, and you have someone that comes in with a pre-existing bias, and yes, they are showing facts, Ken, but that person could already have their mind made up and be like, nope, yeah, I see. They may view the evidence in a non-impartial, would that be partial? You know what I'm trying to say. They may have...
They're not going to look at it objectively.
Are they even arguing that? I don't think... Tsarnaev's not even saying... They admit he was part of it. I mean...
No, the lawyers... But see, that's the thing about the law, right? And that's the thing about when you look at our justice system, the lawyers are trying to do everything in their part to spin it to where, you know, they're... In his case, they're trying to get, you know, a stay of execution, so he's not going to be executed, and he can serve he can just live it out for the remainder of his life in prison. But there are some cases, evidence-wise, that are just open and shut, and you go, okay.
Right, like this one.
This one here. We know exactly he was involved, he did it, whatever, whether he said, hey, I had my involvement, it's open and shut, and then there are just some... There are some sentences that you just need to say, okay, we know you've done everything. Death is the only way that you're never going to make anybody happy. But at the end of the day, death is what this man deserves.
Jason in Warwick, your thoughts on this. Good morning.
Morning.
Jason. Hello, hello.
Hi. Yeah. I served this country for 21 years. I think it's a disgrace that people are trying to get this guy to have a life sentence. Fry him. He killed people.
Yeah, no, I agree, and thank you very much for your service. I think most people are kind of on board with that thought process that they're just kind of sick of this whole thing.
Right, but it's more the politicians because when you start to think about the death penalty, and that's, you know, a whole thing, it becomes this whole, you know, this whole political. Well, do you really have the right to kill people just because you're the government? Mm-hmm. And, you know, it becomes that. That's what we see here. And that's why you're always going to have these people that are against the death penalty. A lot of it has to do with the politics that are involved.
617-779-7937 if you want to chime in about this or anything else we're discussing on the show this morning. One of those things being the possibility of Tom Brady not being here next season, because we're going to keep beating that dead horse. If you're just tuning in, we are the Greg Hill Show without Greg Hill. He's feeling a little under the weather this morning. Not sure if that has to do with him staying for the entire Celtics game last night, but you can certainly speculate on the text line 37937. Here we are.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.